is Joe Boyd, and this is another edition of Lucky 13. A little bit of a South African theme today. We start and end, of course, with my Church Mouse theme by Dudu Pakwana, South African, great South African sax player. And then the first triad ends in South Africa, and the second one begins in South Africa. It's a long one, the second one, so we only have two today. My collection includes quite a lot of jazz and quite a lot of flamenco. So the law of averages is you're going to hear, you know, a fair amount of both those forms. But let's get started. Indian music has always been a bit of a stepchild in the world music scene because, for one primary reason, which is the tracks are so long. It's very hard to get time on the radio to play an entire rag or something like that. And so Indian music, which was actually one of the first exotic musics to become popular in the West, the Ravi Shankar at Woodstock and all of that, never really caught the world music wave, I think, and that's one of the main reasons. But we have here a track which is of a manageable length. Wonderful flute player called Deepak Ram. And I love the sound of the tabla, which is also very well played by Shibshankar Ray. So it's a lovely sounding record. And we're going to play a rag called Kirwani, the Rupak Tal. And after that, we're going to move around the flute world in a way, in two different ways, both geographically, going from India to Bulgaria and then to South Africa, but also in the angle at which they're played. The Indian flute, of course, is played across like a Western classical flute. Then we're going to hear the kaval, which is played at a kind of 45-degree angle. And then we're going to hear a penny whistle, which is played straight up and down. Thank you.
gentlemen, for the first time in the history of South Africa, we have the two Kwela kings. On my right hand, I have King of Kings, Lemmy Special.
Spokes Mashian and Lemmy Special. I actually met Spokes. He came and played at the 1965 Newport Folk Festival. In fact, he was on, I think he played, that's right, he played When the Saints Go Marching In with George Ween and a bunch of various weird mixture of musicians at the finale of the festival on Sunday night after Bob Dylan had gone electric and shocked the festival. That was Magnatella. The history of, I mean, penny whistles were a huge craze. Kwela played on the penny whistle, a huge craze in the 40s and 50s. There was even a big hit in Britain with a song called Tom Hark. And but the origin is kind of interesting. In the 20s, when there's so many workers came from the countryside into the city, it was a very tough world, and the gangs formed, Zulu gangs and Sotho gangs. And a lot of them liked to put on shows of strength with parades through the townships. And they liked to imitate the British marching bands, but of course they couldn't afford the brass instruments or the bagpipes or whatever. And so they found the penny whistle, and they sort of would mock and imitate the British military parades, but playing songs on the penny whistle. And when the first soloing started, the first virtuosi started playing solos, they were always trying to imitate Benny Goodman, who was a huge favorite in the African townships. And in those, you can see scenes in some films of, you know, kids hustling for pennies, you know, playing the Kwela for white tourists and going down to downtown Johannesburg and singing. And of course, they would smile and grin and pass the hat. Meanwhile, the lyrics were very often in Zulu saying, "We're going to kill you white bastards." Before that, we heard Stoyan Velichkov, a wonderful virtuoso of the kaval, a track that I recorded when I did some recording in Bulgaria in the late 80s. He became part of my Bulgarian all-star group called Balkana, which had a brief moment of touring and success before getting kind of blown out of the water by the Mystère de Voix Bulgare. And we started with Deepak Ram. One of the greatest musicians I ever worked with, and one of my favorites, was Chris McGregor, the South African jazz pianist. I first heard him in the mid-60s in a club in London, and with his he led the first multiracial jazz group in South Africa. And when things got too impossible for them, they fled to Europe and lived in England. Chris lived in England for some years and then in France, and didn't have an always an easy time of it, but made some fantastic recordings, and I'm very proud to have been part of a couple of them. We're going to hear a track from the first Brotherhood of Breath record. This was the big band that Chris formed at the end of the 60s, a mixture of South African musicians and English musicians. And the thing about this music, I mean, first of all, Chris was a huge devotee of Duke Ellington. He loved Ellington. You can hear that in some of the harmonies and the way the horns work. But he was also devoted to South African roots and to, a less urban, I suppose, less sophisticated. No, I don't know, that's not the right word. But his music has tremendous spirit and a feel which is a little bit different than most jazz records. When I was living in New York in the 90s, I stumbled across, I think it was a Tuesday night session, once a month, I think the first Tuesday of every month, this big band assembled in a tiny bar, crammed, it took up most of the space, all the musicians playing a wonderful kind of big band music that reminded me a bit of the Brotherhood of Breath. It was led by an Argentinian called Guillermo Klein, who has made a few records that kind of reflect the excitement of what I heard that night. And one of the things that links those, Chris McGregor and Guillermo Klein, in my view, is the other key influence, and that is Charlie Mingus. And I think you can hear it. It's not as quite as linear, perhaps, as Chris's direct connection to South African Marabi Township jive, etc. But I think it's there. I think Mingus is the spirit of something that connected to, in Mingus's case, to rhythm and blues, to gospel music in a way that was much more visceral than most of the great arrangers and leaders of big bands. So we're going to hear a track from Brotherhood of Breath, a great track called Mra, and then Juana by Guillermo Klein, and then we'll finish up with a workout by the Charlie Mingus Ensemble. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that was MDM by the Charlie Mingus Ensemble, recorded October 20th, 1960. The title originally was supposed to represent the abbreviations of the names Monk, Duke, and Mingus. And he later retitled it Duke and Monk because, to be honest, he thought all the themes within that piece were really borrowed from Duke and Monk, and that he didn't really contribute anything. Eric Dolphy and Booker Irvin, Charles McPherson play the saxophones. The great trombone parts are played by Jimmy Nepper and Britt Woodman. And Danny Richmond, of course, who was collaborated with Mingus a lot, was the drummer. And Danny Richmond was somebody who came from the world of R&B and brought that drive and that urgency over to the modern jazz world early in his career. Before that, we heard Guillermo Klein and his big band. He plays piano and composed the song Juana. And we started with Mra, which actually, nice turnabout for this program, Chris McGregor wrote the piece Church Mouse, which I use as my theme. Duda Pequana wrote Mra, which Chris arranged for his big band, which included South Africans Mongezi Feza on trumpet, Duda Pequana on saxophone, Ronnie Beer on saxophone, Louis Maholo on drums, and a scattering of Anglos like Harry Beckett on trumpet, Alan Skidmore on saxophone, Mike Osborne, and John Sermon also on saxophones. So that concludes edition 10 of Joe's Lucky 13. We've got three more in this first season, and I look forward to seeing you next week. In the meantime, let's have a listen to Duda Pequana, Richard Thompson, Simon Nicol, and Chris McGregor's Church Mouse taking us out.